So this morning, we're really going to do things a lot different than normally, and most of you know kind of where we're going with this morning. I do want to read one first before we get started, and we're going to start with Cheryl and Bill, because if we overlap, then they can go. If they have to leave, they can leave. But I've got quite a few people that want to share. But we have everybody, not everyone, but most everyone that wants to share something about their mother this morning, and I think that's great. And this morning I was texting Russ because he was reminding me that he wasn't going to be here today. But he texts this, and I have to read this to you. It is amazing. He says, "I thank you, God, every day for my special mom, Clara, who was born Mother's Day, 1935. Isn't that something? And then he says, "Today is a day all mothers and for all of those who have or who had had one of God's most wonderful beings." Isn't that awesome? That was very well put for him. But again, this morning, we know that there are no words that can fully express that we love, the love that we have for our mothers. And the Bible has many, many passages about honoring mothers and recognizing the role that they play or played in our lives. Actually, there are 312 Bible verses about mothers that is mentioned. Their role as mother, their relationships, and their influence on others. So whether we called her mom, mama, mommy, or mother, that word represents such not so much the things that she did, because it goes surpasses the title of being mom, mother, or mama, or mommy. So it contains an unbreakable bond between a child and a mother. And I thought it was so cute that Terry shares that she says, I'm a dachshund mommy. And I mean, they're a handful. I mean, they are a handful. And their wheels are always turning. And so they're like kids. I mean, their wheels are just constantly, what can I do next? And what's that?
Annoying.
Yes. So be it a pet mama or a mama, you know, of little children, little girls or boys, you know, it's a challenge, but it's one you never want to change. You never want to take those moments away. You wouldn't change it for a minute. And again, it's that unconditional love. You know, like Terry has that unconditional love for her dog that goes out time and time and digs holes in the backyard like my dog does. But yet when you see our children and they look up at you after they've spilled the milk or they've dumped the box of cereal that you just got through maybe sweeping the kitchen floor, and there's a box of Oreos or Fruity Pebbles all over the floor, and they look at you and they go, "I'm sorry, Mom." And they give you that look. It's like, well, you know, it's like, or better yet, when you've gone through how many hours of labor, but the moment you take that child and you put that child in your arms, it's like you don't even think about that pain. In fact, I saw yesterday on Facebook, they have it's a wooden disc like this, Nicole could probably relate to this a little bit, but on this disc, it shows the little bitty 1 centimeter, and then it goes 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters, all the way to 10, and that's 10 centimeters about, right, Nicole, somewhere in there? A little bit smaller, okay. Well, it felt like that. Okay, yeah, right. So, you know, and it was just saying that maybe the caption underneath this, that Happy Mother's Day was well worth, you know, is very well earned by us, because that is the one of the toughest things to do in delivering a child. So, again, that kind of relationship, that's unbreakable. That's an unbreakable kind of bond that, you know, we might not love what they've done, but we'll always love them. Amen. And again, there's that unconditional kind of love, that unwavering love that you always have, that's only shared between a mother and a child. So it's a relationship that is defined by endless support, either always there at the sports games, whatever, or if they're wanting to try out for this, that, or the other, the mother's behind them 100%, the father's behind them 100%. Valuable lessons are taught through mothers, countless selfless sacrifice are just one of the many things that as mothers we are honored to do. And again, like I said, there's 312 Bible verses, our passage is talking about mothers, but I would suggest that at least in Proverbs 31, there's at least two that you might want to read. I've got here like 2, 4, 6, 8 of them just here alone that just talk simply about what mothers do and what a mother's heart is. So with that being said, I'm going to have Cheryl come on up. That's fine. You can. That's go ahead.
First, Nicole sent me that. What is the name of that?
Oh.
So I texted my kids. After looking at this, I'd be mad. More mothers. You know, you say that we were at sporting events and all these events. One time, when Nicole was in college, and she had a part in an opera, and it was a really snowy, was that in January or February? I mean, like, throughout 80 was closed. And she kept calling me, you guys are coming.
Oh.
I'm like, you can't, so Rob Eddie is calling. And she said it wasn't the same up there before, knowing that I was listening. So, anyhow, my mom, Betty Jean Warley Todd, was the most beautiful person inside and out. She actually, when my dad was in the service and they were in California, my mom would go into a restaurant, sit at the counter where they made the coffee drinks, just hoping someone would see her and she would become famous. Could that happen at a restaurant or something? But I used to tell mom as a little girl, Mom, you're prettier than any of the people in the movie. And she was. She had coal black hair, big brown eyes, a little bitty petite thing. And she was sweet as could be, but by golly, she was strict with us kids. And all my cousins on my mom's side always said, you Hodge kids are the favorite grandkids. I'm like, no, it's not that, because we're the ones that behave ourselves, and you guys don't. Because mom was there to make sure we behave ourselves. And my mom could not read a bit of music, but she probably sang more weddings and funerals than anyone else I know. She had a beautiful, big voice. As little as she was, her voice was big. She didn't even need a microphone. And she used that voice many times, taking us kids to the nursing homes in Princeton where we would perform. And she would do like a mini sermon. And once I started playing the piano, I was the one that she always took with it. So I went to many nursing homes when I was a kid. And she was such a servant. She really served others. We had elderly neighbors in the neighborhood that mom would always check on, always help. She would always be there. And she'd take food to them when they were sick. And I'll never forget the one neighbors next door were her brother and sister that lived together. They were in their 80s. And that woman was just a real cranky person, but for some reason she loved my mom. But after they died, their other sibling who was married said the only reason why my mom took care of them was so she could inherit money. And it just broke my mom's heart. She said, I don't want anything. If they left me something, you can take it. I don't want anything. So I knew that her serving was from the heart. It wasn't from trying to earn something. And she was a really great career warrior. Even with her dementia, when I walked into Liberty Village, sometimes I'd see her hovering over someone's wheelchair with her hands on them, praying over them because they were crying. And sometimes she just started singing a song to them. And even when she could barely walk herself, she was still walking around singing and praying over people. And I remember the last time I went to the house before we had a tour in Liberty Village, Dawn had a really bad migraine. She had me kneel down. She was sitting on her little bed. She put her hands on my head, she prayed for me like that. And I'll never forget that. But the most important gift that she gave me and all my was that she taught us about Jesus. And that's the only gift that we can have forever. And she took us to Sunday school and church. We had to read by ourselves until one day, I think I was 9, and my dad wanted to do church and all that. And he found out that Reverend Holmier, that came to the Christian Church in Princeton, was a relative, a church hall relative of his down south. And after that, my dad missed the Sunday. And because of my precious mom, my dad died on Father's Day, 9 years ago. And he was, I had to leave our church hall appointment to go down and be with my mom. And dad was in his bed, and his hands were folded in prayer, facing where my mom was dead, because she prayed for him every night. So my mom was just a very wonderful servant of the Lord. And we certainly know where
to go. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cheryl. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Bill, did you have anything that you wanted to? Sure. Sure, go right ahead.
Thinking back on that, when he asked me if I wanted to say a few words about Mom, so many memories run through my head. She actually passed away 17 years ago, May 8th this year, and I still miss her today. I remember those... probably first even couple of years, there were times where something would happen and I would say to myself, oh, I can't wait to tell Mom. I was one of four children that Mom had. I had two older brothers and a younger sister. And it wasn't uncommon, well into my adult life, that my mom would introduce me as her baby boy. So, as embarrassing as that may have been, it's always welcome to know what's always. And just a few other memories, just quickly. I remember when Cheryl and I started dating. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Cheryl had 3 children from a previous marriage, and then we had 2 of our own children funded again, and 1 for funded again. But I remember telling my mom that we were getting engaged, and she sat me down. She said, I want you to know, she said, that if you ever have any children together with Cheryl, that you're to be treating her kids the same as your children together, the wrong of your children. Such wise, but not bad. I'd like to think that that would have been something I would have done automatically. But nonetheless, it was very wise. And then it was early on after we got married, it was always a BB tradition to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. And I was worried because we had been invited to Cheryl's family for Christmas Eve that year, and I was just worried Mom was going to be so upset that we weren't going to be at the BB Christmas party. And when I, you know, just really nervous about it, I went and I told her that we were going to be going this year. We were going to be kind of trading back and forth, and that we were going to be going this year to the Hodge House for Christmas Eve. And she said, honey, she says, don't worry about that. She says, you're making memories of your life. And so it just took such a weight off my shoulders. And just, she's just so gracious in that. So no question about it. And then lastly, she struggled with her health. She had a strong faith in her end days. But she was struggling with her health. And every time we got together, we would sit down at her kitchen table. And she would want to know, one by one, all the kids, how things were going. And then she would celebrated a couple of grandkids with them, great grandkids as well. But those were just so much memories that I had.
Thank you, Bill. Cole, did you have something you wanted to share?
Mine isn't going to be nice and eloquent, because I didn't want to do this, so bear with me. As you know, my mom, well, you might not know, she had me when she was 17 years old. So she's always been there. And she gave up a lot to have me. And what I think is cool is, I've never had my own children, but when I work in the hugging units and in the ill kinds of care, I always like the teenage ones. I had a soft spot for them. The nurses would talk down with them, you know, they didn't report, and they didn't say some good stuff. And like, I'm so glad I have them today. Because I would encourage them, and I'd say, you know what, Mom, I'm so appreciative. And just encourage them to spend time teaching them. Because sometimes their mom, their grandmother, really needs them. So I always have a soft spot.
Well, for just off the cuff, that was pretty good. And just think about that, Cheryl. Sometimes you sit back and you think, you know, 17 years old, I had her. But just think, if you had not done that, the ministry that she has to do what she does with these young girls, wow.
What's really kind of
That's
cool.
amazing.
At 17, I was an honor student at Princeton High School, straight A student, had a music scholarship, and Natural Honor Society. They stripped me of all my awards. And 18 years later, Nicole graduated from Princeton High School, and she won every one of those.
So there. With that, that's great. Eddie, would you like to stand there and share, or you want to come up here, sweetheart?
I'll go there.
Okay, come on up here. Then.
Hold on. I was up till 12 o'clock last night writing this, so kind of tired. But mine's more like formal. I said, if love had a face, a voice, a heartbeat, I think it would sound and look exactly like my mother. Today isn't just Mother's Day. It is a moment to pause and recognize the quiet hero in our lives who have never asked for applause or a standing ovation. I remember being a child not knowing much about the world, but always knowing one thing. When I reached for a hand, it was always there. Through scraped knees to sleepless nights, monsters under the bed, to teenage heartbreaks, to even car wrecks. My mom stands like a lighthouse, steady, bright, and constant, even in the storms. She taught me kindness, strength, and sacrifice without ever asking for anything in return, besides maybe a foot massage or to clean the house here and there. I didn't always understand how much she carried with her until I grew older and tried carrying a piece of it myself. So all the mothers here today, and especially to mine, your love has built us, your patience has held us together, and your lessons, spoken or silent, have shaped the best parts of who we are. You don't just raise children, you raise hope, courage, and kindness. And to anyone missing their moms today, your love, your memories, your strength, they live on too. Because motherhood in its truest form is not just biology, it's a legacy of love that never really leaves. So all our moms, we love you and we see you. Lastly, it didn't feel right saying a speech. It didn't feel right saying a speech without mentioning one of my favorite people, my Grandma Pat. Some of you may have known her, and if you did, I bet it was a blessing. She's one of the most genuine, kind-hearted, and loving and caring human beings. If she were here today, I know she would be proud of you, Mom. And she for sure would be saying, you have a long time to wait, Adeline, so give me my presents until you get your own. If I had to think of one thing I loved the most about her, it would be the love that she had for me. I talk about this because although I may have my mom with me here today, and she has her mom, my father doesn't. As many of you probably don't have your moms here with you today, I know they're all sitting with you, with God, looking down on all of you, still loving you and watching over you. I am thankful for all the mothers here with us today, but especially my mom, my person, my rock, and my entire life. I love you and thank you for everything you've sacrificed and done to make me and Sophia live the best possible life we could. Thank you.
There is Kleenex up here, by the way. Whoa. Okay, Lois, did you have anything that you'd want to share this morning? No? Mary? Either one of you want to share anything? Okay. All right, Janice. Oh, you want to come up here? Okay.
Judy is probably going to repeat me. As you have known, my beloved mother passed away about a year and a half ago. She was the heart and soul of our family. She was our rock. She had an infectious laugh. I miss her voice, her hugs, her kisses. She was full of love and wisdom and encouragement throughout our lives. She was my best friend. She was the best wife, mother, sister, aunt, grandma, great-grandma, and friend to all those she crossed paths with. Her faith was so strong. She loved this church, and she loved the church family. She was very active in this church, whether it was treasurer, church board, Sunday school teacher, cleaning the church, whatever she needed, she was always here. She was always helping when she was able. Anyone that knew her, one of her joys was taking care of others, including Dad, her mom, her mother-in-law, her siblings. She didn't like it when that role reversed and we were taking care of her. When we were getting groceries, when we were getting medicine, she was stubborn. She got better with it as we went on. She loved her garden, her flowers, watching and feeding the birds and squirrels. Most of all, she loved spending time with her family. We take comfort in knowing that her legacy lives on through her children and grandchildren. Of course, our hearts are broken without her here, but she is always in our hearts. She will never be forgotten. Happy Mother's Day in heaven, Mom.
Quite the woman, wasn't she? Very special. Judy, you want to stay there?
I'll just stay here.
Okay, go ahead.
Mom, it was Susan that Janice said in her talk about Mom. We were so blessed to have her there as a mom. She was very loving, caring, and especially her faith. And it was like about 2 years ago that when she fell and broke her hip and then, you know, the downfall, but she was so strong in her faith. And as I was cleaning the house and doing things, I found many little notes in the Bible around that says, God is my strength. And I want to frame some of those as I keep thinking that was Mom. Especially, you know, doing him, she was strong. But she was the youngest of five in her family. She worked, they lived on the farm, she worked hard. She was involved in 4-H, and I think that's kind of where she met Dad at. They were married 65 years, she had us five kids. We had a garden, she was canning flowers, we were the beans or peas to fix. And she always enjoyed her flower arrangement she took to the Barrow County Fair. She loved that, it was part of it. And boy, could Mom cut up and gut a chicken or a turkey. And of course, you know, she was a really good cook. She was always baking cookies. And of course, she was a cook at Princeton High School for many years. And of course, she was here at the church, Sunday school teacher, played the piano for the kids. Was school, church board, was treasurer for 50 years. And they joined her church family, as Janice said. And kind of in closing, I found this little poem as I was sitting out watching it. I'm probably a bird mommy now, but take care of all the birds. But I found this little poem and I thought it summed up Mom really well since she enjoyed cooking. It's called, this, A Recipe for a Special Mom. One heart full of love, one head full of understanding, one large pinch of courage, three heaping cups of patience, two cups of laughter, one handful of generosity, four scoops of fun. Mix well, sprinkle with kindness, add plenty of faith, keep with sunshine, spread over a lifetime, for a plate full of joy and a cup of warm memories, which we have many, many precious memories. So we wish, we know that Mom is in heaven and having a joyful day.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you.
So, Allison or Don, did you want to share anything? No? Okay. How about you, Iona? You or Chico, do you want to share anything?
No, they're pretty much well.
Okay, that's the important thing, is what we're doing today is we want to honor our mothers, and by sharing what they are, that's what they're doing. We're honoring our mothers. So, Bill, did you have anything that you wanted to share about your mother? No? Okay. Terry, you want to come up here or you want to stay there? Okay. Paul, did you have anything that you would want to share? No? Okay. And Nancy, Terry kind of spoke for both of you. Okay. Eleanor, did you? And that didn't get changed. I could understand there being kind of a complex kind of thing going there.
Oh.
Eleanor, did you have something you want to share?
Yes, especially now. I'm going through my when she came, she married my dad, she came into a household, she didn't have anything of her own, you know. But her, my grandmother, done long time. But as I work, go through these things, I see that she did not have a lot. She came from a very poor family. She was a hard, hard worker. And she didn't care for, even when she could afford things, she wouldn't buy expensive things. It was just not her way. If there was a figurine that was worth hundreds of dollars or something, she'd buy something plastic. It meant more to her than material things. And so now as I'm going through things, I think back a lot. She was widowed at 51, and she took very good care of my dad, my grandparents. And she took over the actual farming. She'd get on the tractor, and she'd do the actual farming for a few years after my dad died. And I just think about all these things that I go through the house now, and that she was, my dad was never Christian, but before she got married, she joined the church, she was confirmed, she was baptized, and she seemed to it that we were educated in church, and she was every Sunday. I just appreciate so much more now I think about it as I go through all these things.
That's great.
And the Lord allowed her to live almost three months short of 101 years.
Wow. Wow. Cheryl, I did not ask you, did you want to share anything about your mom?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's been 13 years since my mom passed away. My daughter was really close to her because she took me back in and helped raise my daughter. And she was a loving mom. She had six boys, two girls. And she said she'd rather have the six boys than two giggly girls, you know. And, you know, we did things. We grew up on the farm. We did the chores and housework, etc. She went to church. She was a dead mother, a Girl Scout leader, and a Bluebird and campfire leader. And when I joined the fire department and lost it, she told me, you join, you will go to all calls, you know, and she had to wake me up if I didn't hear my pager. And I'd get up during the night and go, but Mom was always there for me. And the more I think of her, the more I miss her every day. And I pray for her every night saying, I love you, Mom. And it's not goodbye, it's see you later.
Yeah, that was awesome, Cheryl. Thank you so, so much. That was beautiful. Is there anyone here that I've missed? I do not want to miss anyone. If you want to share something. You guys are next. I wanted to make sure before you guys came up. Yes, Addie. Would you go get Sophie for me? And we'll let her do hers after Bruce. No, I want you to come on up, Bruce, and share yours. Bruce shared some of his, and he's also going to share Caroline's too. Very special.
Right.
But they all were very special.
I need a table, so I'm yes, coming up here. I don't want to be up here, but it's my honor to do two moms today. So, this came across my screen yesterday. It's Mother's Day is here. Happy Mother's Day in heaven, Mom. Not a day goes by that I don't miss your voice, your love, your presence. Today hurts a little more without you. I wish I could hold your hand, hear you laugh, tell you how much I love you. You are my strength, my guide, my heart. Heaven holds my angel now, but I'll forever carry you in everything I do. Thought that was great. It's my honor to read something about Sharon Stott, Caroline's mom. Caroline wrote this. I'll do my best. My mom was born during World War II, didn't finish high school, but she went to work to help the family. Grandpa was sheriff and grandma cooked for the prisoners. One day, Grandma dropped her 1947 Better Homes and Gardens snap binder cookbook pages flew everywhere. She was so frustrated, she told Mom to pick up the mess and throw it away. Mom, always frugal, picked up the pages and put them back in the binder in order, and I still have that cookbook today. At 24, she became a single parent with two preschoolers during a time which there weren't many divorced families. Her much younger sister started dating a Christian young man in high school and invited Mom to church where she accepted Christ. Times were lean growing up. We grew a huge garden and canned all summer and fall. We didn't have much, but every time there was a visiting missionary or guest speaker in town, we always had them over for dinner, even when it meant pancakes for us the next few nights. We'd frequently provide lodging for them. One time we had 11 college girls stay at our house. They must have been singers or something. Mom drove a Pinto. Can you imagine 11 college girls riding to church with us in a Pinto? Mom had a friend that lived a couple blocks from us. There was a trailer park at the end of the street, but Mrs. King didn't live in a trailer. She lived with her children in a tiny little building next to the tracks, and I think it was a converted railroad boxcar. She made us look rich. One year, my grandparents gave Mom a long goose-down winter coat for Christmas. Shortly thereafter, we went to Grandma's, and Mom had on her old wool winter coat and a faux fur with a faux fur collar. Grandma asked what happened to her new coat. Mom said she gave it to Mrs. King because she didn't have a coat. Grandma, not happy, asked, couldn't you have given her your old one? To which Mom replied, that ratty old thing, nobody should have to wear that. After Mom died, my sister Renee had a friend whose daughter really needed a bed. So Renee gave her bed to the daughter, complete with a rattan headboard Mom had given her just a few years earlier. When I questioned her decision, she replied, I can use Mom's old bed, just like Mom. If the doors to the church were open, we were there. Sunday morning church, Sunday school, Sunday night church, and training union, much like Sunday school, but at night. Wednesday night prayer meeting, special revival meetings, and weekly kids club. As it was not financially feasible, Mom obtained scholarships that allowed us to attend Christian school. We only had a TV until third or fourth grade when it literally caught fire while watching the Ten Commandments movie. We weren't allowed to watch much anyway, and a lot of shows were off limits due to content. Mom said, you don't need to be filling your head with all that, with that all day long. Same with the radio. Moody Bible Institute radio was usually on. We could listen to country station, but not for more than an hour or so a day. You just don't need to be continually filling your head with that. Mom had her devotions with us every night, a practice that my sister carried on with her children. Even after her own divorce, every night the boys were at their father's, Renee would read the Bible to them over the phone and pray. In 1979, the summer before eighth grade, my mom had the opportunity she always dreamed of, and I quote, to go to work in full-time service of the Lord. We moved to the Chicago suburbs where she worked as a secretary at Slavic Gospel Association. She must have been planning this for years because I remember in elementary school listening from bed at night as she was trying to learn to speak Russian. In high school, my sister and I worked volunteer in the mailroom at SGA. Rent and everything else was higher in the suburbs, and Mom's pay was only $3 a week higher, but it was worth it. Mom got cancer in 1983 and had a double mastectomy. It was a type of cancer that caffeine accelerated the growth. After she'd been in remission for over a year, the doctor said she could have a cup of coffee a day, but don't go crazy with the caffeine. Mom read Prevention magazine, and made things like wheat germ balls and carob cake. She had read that there was much caffeine in a single cup of coffee, as in 3 chocolate bars. So she asked the doc if she couldn't have 3 chocolate bars a day instead of the coffee. By the time we were working and contributing to the household, so Mom had a little more disposable income. While in remission, she had an opportunity to go to the Slavic Gospel Association mission base in Austria. As they knew she'd be working alongside missionaries, SGA allowed her to take 50% PTO and 50% wages. She ate and stayed with the missionaries, doing whatever they did each day. This was during the Cold War when Russia and Eastern Europe were behind the Iron Curtain. They had a car with numerous hidden compartments, which they filled with Bibles. My mom and another missionary smuggled the Bibles across the border into communist Hungary. After they had distributed the Bibles to their contacts, the missionary took Mom out to dinner in Hungary, which was not something they did regularly. After dinner, they came out and their car was gone. The car with the, albeit empty, numerous hidden compartments. They were frightened that the purpose of their trip might be discovered. Luckily, they had only parked on a street with restricted parking for several hours in the evening, and the car had been towed. Mom was relieved to get the car back to Austria. Once again, following the example Mom set, my sister went on domestic mission trips starting in high school to Africa, and continues today with the deaf ministry that spans the globe. The cancer came back after 3 years. Mom really wanted to go to another Slavic Gospel Association mission base. Her doctor said, "You can be in pain in Illinois or you can be in pain in Alaska. I'll find you help up there if you need it." Just a few months before she died, while cancer-ridden and in pain, she traveled to Alaska to spend time with missionaries up there. Even though she died at 43, Mom always liked older people. Even though she wasn't looking for a mate, she was involved in a group at church called Autumn Singles. I guess that's where I got it. My best friend in 5th through 7th grade was a 70-year-old lady across the street, Mrs. Prime. As an adult, my best friend was my grandpa. Because her parents were still alive, Mom's memorial service was in our hometown in a small Baptist church that seated about 160. There was standing room only with outside aisles and the back packed. After the service, we were standing in the vestibule being greeted by those who had attended. When I could see the end of the line and an empty sanctuary, I said, "Whew, we're almost done." The pastor standing across from me pointed behind me to my left in the church basement staircase, which was full of people waiting in line. People were watching the memorial service on closed circuit television in the basement. Over 400 people attended. I don't think I even know 400 people, much less have impacted them enough to drive them to my funeral. At the end, Mom missed a lot of work as the cancer spread throughout her body. Her co-workers at SGA donated their unused vacation pay so Mom wouldn't be in need. When she passed, there was 2 months' pay left in the kitty, which they gave to us girls. We tried to get them to take it back and distribute it amongst the co-workers, but they'd taken a unanimous vote and wouldn't take it back. We asked for memorials to be sent for the SGA. They received several thousand dollars plus PTO. At the time, they ran a Bible college in Argentina. Many Slavic people enter South America and travel north to the USA. They were working on a library remodel, and the money was just enough to finish the job. So they hung a plaque on the wall in memory of Mom. Super cool for a 20-year-old. But then in 2000, I had the opportunity to travel to Argentina and visit the college which had by that time been turned over to the locals to operate. Mom was a remarkable person who always put everyone else first, right behind her Lord and Savior. Well, mine's a bit shorter than that. Many of you knew my mom. I wrote, this is about pride, love, and regret. I was so very proud of my mom. My mom seemingly took on everything. As a kid, she was a Cub Scout leader, always a fresh activity at each meeting. They always included a snack. She was always eager to help put things together in a teaching, loving way. The hugs, when I came home on leave, were probably too long. Neither of us wanted to let go. Excuse me, sorry. After they moved to Florida, I saw them too seldom. I was building a career, and I'm sure way too self-absorbed about it. Her last few years were spent in an extended care facility. Shortly after moving there, she started a library. Librarian, her avocation. The library filled up in no time. Until today, the library bears her name. I stopped in there several years after she passed. Shirley Pierce Library was above the door. I'm so sorry. She was so very well remembered there and was one of the initial inductees into the Hall of Fame. On one of my visits, which turned out to be my last, I was sitting behind her with my hands on her shoulders. At some point she said, "Your hands are so warm." Work called that day was some sort of crisis that today I can't remember. I told her that I'd be back in 2 weeks. The elevator had line of sight to her room. I pushed the button and turned and looked back at her room. I waved and gave her a thumbs up. Turned out that's the last time I saw her alive. My sister Nancy called a few days later and told me she had passed. Nancy said she waited for me to get there for lunch, took a huge, audible last breath, and died. Some here may think I told a sad story. Quite the contrary. She gave me Jesus. He was always with her, and still is today. If possible, love your mother. She has given you untold gifts, and most importantly, love. I regret not seeing her more after they moved to Florida. Sorry.
Thank you. Now, Sophie's going to share, but Cheryl, do you guys have, are you running?
Dear Mom, thank you. You have been the best mom in the world. You are pretty smart and a lot more. Thank you for being there for me and raising me, taking care of me when I am sick. I love you. I know that I do not show it much, but I really do. I'm sorry for being annoying at some points, but I will do better. I love you.
Thank you to all of you that shared today. That had to be an emotional roller coaster for all of you. In closing, I came from a family of 12, actually 14. My mother had two sets of twins. I have eight brothers, and there was four of us, but my mom, I was a twin, and then she lost a child during pregnancy. She was an emergency. She worked for the ambulance service, and I remember the day that she died. Of course, she came from a family of 16, but I remember the day that she died. She was so well known by people, and again, she was one of those mothers that she would go without, not only for her kids, but people in town. I mean, in our home, our town, that's where everybody came to play baseball. And, I mean, it was just, that was just the place for everyone. She actually took on two boys that she kind of adopted or took care of because they had issues, family issues at home. And so she had two other boys that actually lived with us, for a number of years. But I remember the day that she died in closing. When I looked behind, you couldn't see the end of the cars that were going to the grave, to the cemetery, because there were so many, 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 many people. And yeah, she did come from a big family, but a lot of it was because of people that just knew her. And she was just like all of our other mothers here that they just gave. They just, to them, it was just second nature, just part of their life, just to give. So in closing, Eve, who they called the mother of all the living, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the mother of Isaac, Rebecca, the wife of Isaac, the mother of Jacob, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the prophet, Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, who was the mother of John the Baptist, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who saved him from Pharaoh's decree by putting him what? In a basket so that he could be saved from being killed. Bathsheba, the wife of David, the mother of Solomon. Her actions had signified the impact of history on Israel. And then, of course, most important, of course, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So we thank all mothers. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the gift of mothers. We praise you for their love, their sacrifice, their unwavering support, and we ask for your blessings upon all mothers. Help us to honor them and to cherish them and to reflect love in our lives, in our own lives, Father. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And if you will stand, what we're going to do is we're just going to go ahead and do the benediction. Let's raise our hands. Again, I want to thank all of you that shared and honored your mothers this morning. And as Iona put it, there's not much to add to that. So those that didn't get that opportunity or didn't feel that necessary, they, in hearing all of these other testimonies, they were feeling close and honored their mother as well. So Heavenly Father, we ask that as we say this benediction, that we pray for those future mothers, that you should pour out your favor and blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace.